Our last speaker for the day is going to talk about the basics of confirmation preparation. Again, reference this book, which talks a lot about confirmation preparation. He is the current coordinator for adolescent faith formation. He formerly, in his former job here of the Office of Youth Ministry back in the 90s, was known as the sex guy. And then he came to us convinced that he was going to be the adolescent catechesis guy, and I must admit, he's been outstanding in that role for us, being an advocate for adolescent catechesis. But today, because he really honchoed the committee to make this happen, and has done a great job of it, today he's clearly the confirmation guy. He was confirmed in 1965 in Philadelphia by Cardinal Kroll. Please welcome Scott Miller.
Beautiful. Have a seat. Mr. Ashby just pointed out to me that we in the Catholic Church do not do limbo anymore. Thank you, my brother. He reads up all the latest stuff. That's really good. I appreciate that. We got a tropical theme going here. And I just got to say, my mother's going to be so proud. She's going to say, what did you do today? I'm going to say, I presented in front of 200 people and three auxiliary bishops, and she said, how'd you do? I said, I was in my bare feet. She'll be very, very proud. There we go. We're going to keep our tropical theme going for a couple minutes, and I'd like to invite you to allow me to do just a couple thank yous, but please enjoy the tropical vistas that are out before you. Just relax and catch your breath and lay back. Here comes a couple different thank yous for our day. At the close of our day, some of you are enjoying this too much. And here's one more beach scene I think you'll really find interesting. Some of you are enjoying that beach scene just a little too much. And I just gotta say, you know, it's wonderful having David Hasselhoff from Baywatch there. If I could get a nickel for every time I have been confused with David Hasselhoff. Can you feel the love tonight? I think that we sometimes look at confirmation and confuse ourselves with David Hasselhoff or Pamela Anderson. I know Mr. Ashby confuses himself with Pamela Anderson all the time. Confuse ourselves with David Hasselhoff or Pamela Anderson or any one of the other lifeguards from Baywatch. Do we take a look at the tropical scene before us, the sun, the sand, the scent of suntan oil, and all we can see are sharks in the water. See that little shark? He's gonna go for a swim. There he goes. Do we have the beach before us, the surf, the island breeze, and all we can see is a bomb ready to explode on the beach? Do we have a relaxed pace, a sense of beach time, aloha attitude, and all we can see is a person drowning on the horizon? I think confirmation could be like that for some of us. It's a wonderful, great, blessed, holy opportunity to be with young people, and all we see are the, this is where it could go wrong on us and go badly for us. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful blessing, and we are so lucky to be a part of that. True? Amen. Confirmation, we know, is not the alpha and omega of a young person's catechetical life. The National Director for Catechesis reminds us that catechesis is a lifelong process. A lifelong process for the individual and a constant and concerted activity for the Christian community. We've been talking about that all day so far. There's two partners in this statement. There is the lifelong process that the individual is facing. The reality is that young people will always, always, always be in some relationship with God. Young people will always be in some level of relationship with the church. They may be going 55 other different places, but when push comes to shove and they have to fill out a survey or a census, and what are you? I'm Catholic. True? So they're always going to be connected to the church in some way, shape, form, or another. And they will always grow in faith in some manner or another. Our job is a constant and concerted activity. We need to be assured that we're not offering catechesis for confirmation out of a sense that we've got you now, dude. And we're not going to waste that single moment. We got you. We're going to use that moment. Constant and concerted activity. And that implies the always that the individuals just talked about. Confirmation is one of, if not the largest program process that a parish does annually with her young people. We have and should continue to be able to say that we have done this well. The Division of Youth and Young Adult Ministry has a similar hope that for today's summit gathering. We hope that you will walk away from this gathering and take this moment as a pause, an opportunity to start or restart or commence another looking at your confirmation processes back in your own parish. If you walk away from today and go and don't do anything else after this, then the day probably didn't work. We really invite you to go back into your parishes and take a look and see what's going on and what can be different and what can be changing. Recently, I was part of a planning process for High Line. The High School Leadership Institute, as many of you may know, has moved from a 10-day program to a 7-day program, from a one-track process to a 3-track process. And I know that was a commercial for High Line. By the way, you have Justice Action Week brochures in your folders as well, just to be fair. Okay? I've often equated our planning for that High Line track as like playing Star Trek 3-level chess. You make a move here, but it impacts something here. You make a move here, it impacts something there. But Pat Sprankle, who's been part of the process as well, has been asking a question all along. Everything has been up for grabs as part of the High Line process, and Pat's been asking, why are we doing this anyway? This, ladies and gentlemen, is a question I would invite you to take home with you. Take a look at your stuff that you're doing and say, why are we doing this anyway? With High Line, we have a communication session. Why do we communicate anyway? We have a closing slideshow. Does it need to be at the very end anyway? These are the questions we've been asking about High Line. I invite you to go back and take the same serious look at what you're doing in your parishes and ask, why are we doing this anyway? Just so we know, just so we can double check. In my brief time this afternoon, I do want to take a look at Seal of the Spirit and our resource. Once again, we're not proposing a massive change or shift at all. That was never the goal of this gathering. What I am proposing is that in our brief time together here, that we take a look at the Seal of the Spirit, that we consider the basic elements of confirmation preparation, all the while asking, why are we doing that anyway? And that we assure ourselves that we're true not only to Seal of the Spirit, but also to the spirit of the seal of the sacrament of confirmation. Let's make sure that we're being true to both the document as well as the Holy Spirit. What is the content for our catechesis for the sacrament of confirmation? I'm going to read a short little piece to you, but I got it here right in front of you. On page 14 of the Seal of the Spirit, we're reminded that our catechesis for the sacrament is not, our catechesis for the sacrament is not to bear the weight of providing all information and formation of faith necessary for adult living. It's just not. It hasn't been intended that way for a long time. So let's not put that weight on it. The goals that this document talks about are very simple. To prepare young people for participation in the rite of the sacrament of confirmation, to focus on active membership in the church community, and to invite young people into lived discipleship. Please note again, in almost every parish, this is our biggest and most concerted effort in evangelization and catechesis of adolescent young people. It should be our very best effort in evangelization and catechesis. The components of the sacrament of confirmation are also spelled out in the document. I just wanted to review those very, very quickly again. Once again, these components are not like limbo, where we set the bar this high, or that was my son, by the way, who I set the bar a little low. Okay, I knew he was flexible. Okay, well, we set the bar real high or real low. It's not that the guidelines were never meant to be about that. They were never meant to be a standard which needed to be achieved or not achieved. They were guidelines more for us than for them. And so let's take a look. In terms of our immediate preparation, we are asked to resource families. It does not have to end at the one-stop, one-shop parent meeting. If you just have one parent meeting, why? Can we do more? Can we offer more alternatives? Can we provide more resources for parents without ever meeting them? How can we resource families in different and exciting ways? And also is the same true for sponsors. Every one of the resources, that the freebies that you've received so far, all include new books, new publications for sponsors. We have new resources for sponsors. I'm really excited about the last one you just got, Have Faith, from Mike Carrata. It's just real simple. It's a book. You may have a sponsor in LA. Send the sponsor in LA the book, give your candidate the book, and let them work the pages together online, on phone. Give them the shared resource, okay? But think about the different ways we can get our sponsors and our candidates working and collaborating together. Think about our celebrations for the parish community. This implies recognition by the parish community, prayer by the parish community on behalf of the candidates, perhaps even a parish commissioning of the adults who are working with the candidates, their catechists and their sponsors. Our catechesis for the components of immediate preparation has already been covered a little bit. I just want to call your attention. The guidelines regarding immediate preparation for the sacrament of catechesis involve 9 to 12 hours. It's in the book. You can do a lot more. No one's stopping you. Okay? But think about how much time do we want to spend in terms of immediate preparation with our young people. In terms of service, service should recognize that young people are already involved in service in lots of different ways in our communities. It should be a learning opportunity for young people, allowing them to reflect on the experiences of service and its challenges and meaning for their life. Our Catholic social teaching is one of the best things about the tradition of the Catholic Church, and we should at least make sure our confirmandae have some kind of passing glance at it. It's just good stuff, and we should make sure that their service experiences ties in to solidarity and other stuff from Catholic social teaching. Boy, that was laying the hammer down. Retreat experiences. Again, we have retreat experiences. Retreat experiences offer us privileged time for the confirmandae to consider their faith. Again, Seal in the Spirit talks about a retreat experience being a minimum 6 hours. It can be longer. It can be an overnight. It can be two overnights. It can be two different experiences. But a minimum 6 hours. We need to honor the privilege of young people who spend time with us by giving it our fullest attention and making sure our retreat experiences are some of the best retreat experiences that young people may ever, ever experience in their lives. We want to give our fullest attention and provide the best stuff for them. Same thing with prayer and worship. Prayer and worship is an opportunity to have young people experience the wonders of connecting with God in our church. But also, it's an opportunity for them not only to connect with God, but to connect in with the community and our liturgical and sacramental life. And then finally, the interview process is called for there. And the interview process is set up for encouragement, discussions of faith content, and the individual's personal and faith journey. It's an opportunity to deepen the candidate's awareness of the rite of the sacrament confirmation and to invite them to continued growth. Here's the question: have we become set in our ways? I don't believe that. I generally don't believe that. There is so much energy and excitement and interest in this room that I do not believe we are set in our ways. Nonetheless, I would continue to invite and encourage you to seek the various different alternatives to how we go about doing what we do, and go back to your parish communities and to re-examine how we are going about these components. Can we search for new ways to be more creative and more effective with our efforts? This is something that was one of the largest evangelization and catechesis experiences our young people will ever face in their lives. It should be our best effort. I want to close with two notes and one parable. Here comes the first note. There it is. Mandatory, ladies and gentlemen, for lack of a better way to say it, is a graduation word. You do mandatory stuff, and then you graduate. Our program should not be about demanding that Confirmandae fit our needs. Bishop Madden discussed in this morning's prayer about the Nazareans all needing to have their own way. The tension was all about everybody needing to have their own way. Our first reading from this noontime liturgy today talked about the mandatory requirement for circumcision before you converted. Boy, that lasted long. Thank God. Okay, does mandatory always necessarily work for us? I would encourage you to say, I encourage you to believe that mandatory does not work. Please find other ways to go about encouraging and inviting and expecting young people and their parents and their sponsors to participate in your processes and programs besides using the word mandatory. Does that make sense? Thanks. It's just something. When the phone calls come in, 95% of the phone calls are, well, I missed the mandatory something or another. And the phone call that goes immediately out is, can we make this work? And the answer is usually yes. Let's find ways to continue to make it all work for our folks. Our parishes should be about can-do experiences. We desire to be a church of yes. Saying no does not make us stronger. We want to present ourselves and our church as being positive and being open. A church that says yes. Yes to all that is good and right. Yes to peace and justice. Yes to life. Yes to marriage. We're inviting Confirmandae to consider saying yes to a new life in Christ. We're not asking for a no. We're asking for a yes to the invitation to accept the Lord's invitation to come and follow me, as Sharon suggested today. We're asking a yes to the Great Commission of go and make disciples. For me, and maybe for some of you others who are, you know, of an elderly age like me, some of us grew up in the age of soldiers of Christ, the soldiers of Christ metaphor for the sacrament of confirmation. I was reminded about that this weekend when Pope Benedict addressed his soldiers, the Swiss Guard. This is what Pope Benedict said to his soldiers about their mission. The Pope calls you to holiness, to be disciples, always ready to listen to his voice, fulfill his will, and to realize it in the daily accomplishments of your duties. This helps make you good Christians and at the same time exemplary soldiers, animated by the evangelical spirit that makes each of the baptized a leaven to uplift the rest of us and a light that shines and warms the places you live and work. That's my kind of soldiering. Soldiers of Christ are meant to be leaven and light, animated by evangelical spirit. Note two. Towards a yes, I invite you to review the confirmation covenant that's part of page 17 and 18 in the Seal of the Spirit. It's a tool for commencement of starting and starting again. I would invite you to consider utilizing the tool if you have not done also already in a multitude of venues that are part of your confirmation processes. Can families be included in the decision-making process that the confirmation covenant calls for? Clearly, sponsors should have a role. Might the confirmandes' service experience play a role into the covenant? Does the retreat experience allow them to reflect upon their decision-making for the confirmation covenant? Is their confirmation covenant celebrated through prayer and worship? Is it discussed during the interview? Maybe your parish is doing great with this. Maybe the confirmation covenant has completely escaped your radar screen. This is my encouragement to you, to invite your young people to include their confirmation covenant statement in the upcoming months, weeks, and years, to include their confirmation covenant in their letters to the bishop. If you're sending letters to the bishop, I would invite you to include that as part of your process. I also will try to do my best to follow up with our three bishops and see if they can also include, when they're reporting about the letters in their homilies, if they can also report a little bit more about how excited they are that the young people have made a confirmation covenant to continue being involved in the church and continue to be involved in the work and ministry of our church. It's something our whole community could celebrate as they commence or start again their relationship with our church community. Finally, a parable. You've probably heard of the town of Bethsaida. Bethsaida, is that pronounced correctly? Bethsaida? Close enough? It was a hometown to Peter, Andrew, and Philip, all disciples of Jesus. You probably heard of them? Good. It's entirely unlikely that you've ever heard of Bub Gong, the prophet of Bethsaida. There he is. You know, you remember that kid who had the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes who generously assisted in the feeding of the multitudes? As a kid, that was Bub. Bub from Bethsaida. Bub was so impressed with the Lord that he decided to emulate the master. He traveled all around performing good works just like he had seen Jesus do. Bub was a fine storyteller, and he matched the skills of Jesus in taking a metaphor of people's daily lives and transforming it into a meaningful story. Because of his gift of story, Bub Gong was an honored guest for a meal throughout the land. It seemed that some of the miracle worker that the Lord had must have rubbed off on Bub. Therefore, Bub was able to restore temporary health of hope to the ill. Bub Gong used all the technology of the day available to a spiritual guru. You never ever heard of him. Bub was doing all the right things, yet he seemed to have no disciples, no evangelists to carry his message. Where did Bub go wrong? More precisely, where did Bub not go right? It turns out Bub was so impressed with the miracle of the loaves and fishes that he never understood the message of the Lord. Truly, there's a lesson for that in each of us who attempt to transmit faith to today's young people while using all the cool gadgets and toys of the day. We can be as talented as possible in developing programs and processes. We can use modern technology and media and PowerPoint and YouTube and MySpaces and all that. But the real tools that the Lord used were his relationships and his invitation to discipleship. The seal of the Spirit is a wonderful resource, but we who lead confirmation know it is much more. We are much more concerned about the spirit of the seal. It's not the flashy fancy glitz that works. It's the shepherding sheep over various hurdles, and it's the love that we share with them, the love and that we share and the care that we express. Pope Benedict XVI has refocused us to talk about God is love. And today's business professionals talk about love being the killer app.
Bud Gong just never understood that for Jesus, it was all about selfless love for the Father as well as for one's neighbor. Without that, there's something empty in one's ministry, no matter how gifted one might be with the technology of ministry. Later in Bub's rather mediocre ministry, which had then moved to Corinth, the Christian apostle Paul of Taurus offered this critique of Bub. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong, or a clashing cymbal. As we continue to invite and initiate young people to the sacrament of confirmation, let us remember, because no one else will, the lessons learned from the resounding but empty noise made by Bub Gong, the mediocre prophet from Bethsaida. May we continue to learn and live and love together with the young people we minister. Thank you.